It is a great joy to address you once again, and I pray that as we turn to this subject of revival and bring another meditation on revival, that the Lord will bless his word to your heart. Let's just commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou art indeed the God of revival, and we pray that thou wilt bless the truth that we will consider on this occasion to every soul. We thank thee for all those who are watching on. Bless every heart. May thy Spirit move among us and upon us this night. May Christ be glorified. We pray this in his dear name. Amen. I want to read a couple of verses in the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, and just the first three verses of the chapter. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, that filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." Familiar verses, and God will bless them to each of our hearts. In the last study, I dealt with the meaning of the word revive that we considered in Psalm 85 and verse number 6. And we saw that that word, as we trace it through its usage in the Old Testament, signifies a coming to life from the dead, a rekindling of spiritual life that already exists, and a means of preserving the work of God. Revival is a means of God preserving his own work through his church. When we come to these early passages in the book of Acts, we find that all three of those senses of the word revive and the meaning of revival are actually found, because what we discover is that at Pentecost, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there was the coming to life from the dead on the part of thousands of people who had been dead in their trespasses and in their sins. And the interesting thing is that the majority of those people, in fact all of them I would suggest to you, at Pentecost were religious people, people who were part of Jewish organized religion, but who did not know God, and the Lord dealt with their hearts and he gave them new life in Jesus Christ. And therefore, the disciples themselves, as the Holy Spirit was poured out, had their spiritual life rekindled, and they became transformed men, men who had power with God and power with men as they went forth to witness and to serve in their day and generation. And of course, through this, there was the preservation of God's witness and testimony continuing through the transition from the Old Testament into the New, and the new view of things that was given as a result of what the Lord was doing in those wonderful days. And so we come here to look at these verses that we've read this evening, where we have a climax scene. We find in verse number 2 these words, "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven." What I want you to understand is that this moving of the Spirit, this outpouring of the Spirit to bring this great revival, the greatest revival the world has ever seen, namely at Pentecost, came about as a result of the praying of God's people. Acts chapter 1, we have the Lord's rising from this earth to go back to heaven, his ascension, and the command that he gave to his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem to go and pray, and they did so, as Acts 1:14 shows us, and they remained in prayer for 10 days, and then the mighty moving of the Spirit took place. So it's undoubtedly true that this all took place. This revival came as a result of the praying of the people of God in those days, those 10 days that I've already mentioned. And the question really is, why is it that these people set themselves to pray? And therefore, what is it that we can learn from this with regard to why we are to go to the Lord and seek his face and call upon him and pray with all our hearts for another moving of the Spirit, for reviving on our day and in our generation. The first thing is the promise of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we find in Acts 1, verse number 4. It says here, being assembled together with them, the Lord's assembled with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. And so, notice the words, the promise of the Father, because it is important to understand that this is what moved them. This is what gave them the incentive to begin with, to wait on God and to pray and to see a great moving as they did witness in their own time. It was the promise of the Father. Now that promise, of course, had been given by the Father in Old Testament times. This is the interesting detail I want you to think about here, because whenever the Holy Spirit was poured out and people couldn't understand what was taking place, we discover that Peter gave an explanation in that great message that he delivered on the day of Pentecost. And in chapter 2 again, and verse 16, as he explains things, Peter says this, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit." And so we have a prophecy from Joel being quoted by the Apostle Peter as a means of explaining what was going on. That this was not something of man or not something of the flesh, but rather it was the fulfillment of the great promise of Almighty God. And as the Apostle Peter drew the attention of his hearers to the promise of God, he was underlining that God had promised revival. Now, there are many other scriptures in the Old Testament to which we could go at this moment and find that from those times in Old Testament days, God was pointing forward to the day of Pentecost and was giving the promise that revival, this awakening, call it what you will, this outpouring of the Spirit was going to take place. And so on the basis of the revealed promise of the Father for the New Testament church, we find that the apostles, they waited and they prayed and they expected revival. And so that's real New Testament Christianity. It is to expect and pray for revival on the basis of the promise of Almighty God. The Father revealed that promise. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ reiterated that promise. Back in Acts 1 verse 4, where we just read, we find these additional words, where the Lord Jesus says, "Which saith he, ye have heard of me." And so the Father revealed the promise in Old Testament times to the prophets. The Lord Jesus then reiterated that promise. He had spoken to the apostles about these things before, about the coming of the Spirit. And we know that, of course, from passages like John 14 and 15 and 16, where the Lord Jesus spoke so powerfully and wonderfully to his disciples on that night before he died, about the coming of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to think about that as well, because Christ said to the disciples that the Spirit would come and he would be with the church right through the ages that stretched out before them in their day. And of course, that includes our day. And so we're seeing this. The Father gave the revelation and the Lord Jesus gave the reiteration of this promise. And then it was realized, it was fulfilled, and it came to pass. Now here's a wonderful thing for you and I to think about at this moment. And that is that the promise of the Father that was reiterated by Jesus Christ, that was fulfilled in the days of the apostles, was fulfilled over and over again in those New Testament times. It wasn't a once and for all fulfillment. That is not a proper interpretation of what actually happened. Men will tell you that what happened at Pentecost was once and for all, never to be repeated. And how wrong they are. For all you have to do is go into chapter 4 of the book of Acts, and into chapter 5 and chapter 7 and other chapters throughout the book of Acts, and you will find that what the Father had given in terms of this promise was indeed repeated over and over again, fulfilled again, and has been fulfilled down through the ages, up to our very day. Oh, it's a long time since we have seen a movement like this, but here's the point. We may expect and pray for revival because of the promise of the Father. And I want you to take that to heart. You may feel, oh, it is useless to pray for revival in our day and time. Things are so bad. That's what we often hear. And others will say, well, you know, all these things were meant to be, and we just have to kind of drift along, and we're not to expect revival in our times. Ah, my friend, that is not correct. Because the last days, according to both the Old and New Testament scriptures, refers to that period that brings us right up to the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And all will be ushered in by His coming. Well, that hasn't happened yet. And that's why you and I may pray with all our souls for God to revive His work again. Revive Thy work, O Lord, Thy mighty arm make bare. Speak with a voice that wakes the dead and make Thy people hear. So, here's why you may pray for and expect revival in your own day and generation. It's because of the promise of the Father. But then, these people, these apostles and other disciples prayed for revival, expect revival, because it had been purchased for them by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they are praying on the basis of what they had seen concerning the ministry of Jesus Christ. He had died on the cross. He had risen from the dead. And He had spoken to the disciples about the coming of the Spirit against the background of what He had done on behalf of them and for His church. And we find, of course, that the great outpouring of the Spirit came at the very time or in consequence of the Lord's ascension to heaven. And in this same chapter, chapter 2 of the book of Acts, we find verses that are very important here concerning this. Look at verse number 33 of Acts 2. Let me read it to you. It says, "Therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear." Notice how Peter focuses on the exaltation of Christ. And there's the vital thing. Christ is exalted because the work of the cross is complete. It's a finished work. And He has risen from the dead as the sign and seal that the sacrifice that He offered, God has accepted it. An atonement has been made. And against that background of the finished work and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, he speaks here, Peter speaks here, of Christ being exalted, and as He's exalted to the Father's right hand, He pours out the Spirit. Why may we expect and pray for revival? It's because revival flows out of what Jesus Christ has purchased for His church. Let me underline that to your mind and to your hearts tonight. The authority of Jesus Christ as the exalted head of the church rests upon the finished work. He was exalted because He had finished the work. And because the Father was infinitely satisfied. And therefore throughout the ages to come, it was the will of God that all that Christ would had procured by His death and His resurrection would find fruition in the ingathering of countless multitudes from the nations of the earth. And part of the ingathering of the multitudes involves this matter of reviving and awakening. What is a reviving? What is an awakening? It is the Lord doing in an extraordinary way what He is ordinarily doing. As He works in this world and He saves souls and it happens in a smaller scale, that's the result of the cross. But that's the work of God in awakening and in reviving and in building His church. But then it is increased mightily when it comes to that time and that period when God graciously gives revival. And revival is that extraordinary ingathering of souls bought by the blood of Christ and on the ground of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And therefore you think tonight of how you can pray for revival and expect revival. There's the promise of the Father. There is the procurement of it by the work of Christ. Then, of course, there is the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we find all three persons of the Godhead involved in all of this. That is the reason why we may expect and pray for revival. And the Lord Jesus said, "Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from high." He spoke in verse number 8 of chapter 1 of the coming of the Holy Spirit. We have that promise, or that great matter of the power of the Spirit at our disposal. Therefore, let us set ourselves to cry to God, to plead with Him, to move again, to come in our day and time, that we might see another demonstration of the Spirit's power and a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost in our day and generation. Set yourself to pray as never before, even in days like these, difficult days, that God will move again and we will see this tremendous work of revival taking place and God answering prayer in His own mighty and powerful way. May the Lord bless His word to your heart and to your soul this evening.